The scripture lesson this morning is taken from both Jeremiah and from Luke, beginning with the first reading from Jeremiah. Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Before I informed you in the womb, I knew you, and before you were born, I consecrated you. I anointed you a prophet to the nations." Then I said, "Ah, Lord God, truly I do not know how to speak, for I am only a boy." But the Lord said to me, "Do not say I am only a boy, for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and you shall speak whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord." Then the Lord put out his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, "Now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and over kingdoms, to pluck up and pull down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and plant." The second reading from the book of Luke. Then he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. They said, 'Is not this Joseph's son?' He said to them, 'Doubtless you will quote me this proverb, "Doctor, cure yourself." And you will say, "Do here also in your hometown the things that we have heard you did at Capernaum." And he said, "Truly I tell you, no prophet is accepted in the prophet's hometown. But the truth is, there were many widows in Israel in the time of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, and there was a famine over all the land. Yet Elijah was sent to none of them, except to a widow at Zarephath in Sidon. There were also many lepers in Israel in the time of the prophet of Elijah. None of them was cleansed except Naaman the Syrian." When they heard this, all in the synagogue were filled with rage. They got up, drove him out of town, and led him to the brow of the hill on which their town was built, so that they might hurl him off the cliff. But he passed through the midst of them and went on his way. May God bless our understanding of these readings.
I bring greetings on behalf of the Connecticut Conference United Church of Christ and Silver Lake Conference Center, your outdoor ministry site located in the beautiful hills of Northwest Connecticut in Sharon, Connecticut. Thank you for having me this morning to preach about the good news that is Silver Lake Conference Center, and a special thank you to your pastors, David and Kate and Elizabeth, for their generous sharing of the pulpit and their extravagant hospitality I've received. I'll begin very simply with a really quick overview of Silver Lake Conference Center. Right now, we are in the midst of our retreat season. We do 9 months of retreat season at Silver Lake. We have groups of all kinds. As you've heard, we have choir groups, both youth and adult. We have retreat groups with youth that come. But actually, we have more adult retreat groups than we have youth at this point, partly because we have less folks in our churches, but because we've upgraded and added buildings that are very adult-friendly. So we have retreats throughout the year. And at the core of our ministry is our summer program. We do 7 weeks of summer camp every summer for 4th through 12th grade campers. And each week of the summer, we have 5 different programs that we run. So there's a program each week for 4th through 12th graders. And with 7 weeks of camp, that means we run 35 totally unique programs every summer. Each one has its own theme, and those range from music and drama and video to more high-energy sports and adventure with hiking and boating and more time on the ropes course. So there really is something for every young person at Silver Lake throughout the summer with 35 different conferences. And in addition to our nearly 1,000 campers that we'll welcome this summer, we hire roughly 50 young adult staff. The majority of those staff are between ages 18 and about 25. We also have our youngest layer of staff that we call Camp Family, who are 16 and 17-year-olds. And then we've always got a straggler who's 28, 30, 35, and is still finding outdoor ministry as a part of their journey of life, which we love to have. And then the lifeblood of the Silver Lake Ministry is our volunteers. We have over 150 volunteers every single week, or every summer, I wish a week, every summer at Silver Lake. And those are our deans, who are the folks that design each of those 35 programs that we call conferences, as well as all of our counselors who get to spend the most time and have the most fun with the campers throughout the week. As the ordained executive director at Silver Lake Conference Center, one of my joys is being able to visit you all in the local church and to be able to share about Silver Lake. On this past Monday, I got to go and visit some friends from Vermont who were in the church that I served in Vermont and have now moved to Connecticut to be closer to their family in retirement. And Dave and Sue were a little nervous when I first got there. They asked me, "Do you still get to preach? Because you're not in the local church." And with a huge smile, I assured them I actually preach almost twice as much now as a camp director as I did in the local church, because I was an associate. I only preached about once a month. And now I preach all spring, all the way till camp starts. So that's a great gift to me. And at the core of my sermons, and really at the core of my belief in outdoor ministry and love of outdoor ministry, are two simple things. The first of those is that outdoor ministry changes lives. Silver Lake changes lives. And the second is that God loves you just the way you are, no matter what. And the thing we hear most from our campers over and over and over again is that at Silver Lake, I get to be all of me. I get to be my full self. And using my words, I get to be all that God has created me to be. Part of the way that happens is we are providing a space where campers and volunteers and staff can let their guard down and simply be. They get to simply be present before God and let God and the intentional Christian community that forms around them love them just as they are. I think our scriptures this morning are beautiful in illustrating both of these. In illustrating a community where your life is changed and you are loved. Hopefully you're all familiar with this Jeremiah text. It's kind of the classic call story. It's been preached at just about every ordination that's ever happened. The boy Jeremiah says, "Oh, no, I think you're mistaken, God. It's not me. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't have the right voice. I don't know what to say." And God says, "No, I knew you before you were born, and I have chosen you to go and share the good news." And that is certainly true at Silver Lake as well. I said this gets shared at ordinations all the time. In Silver Lake's 60 years of history, we know of at least 60 folks who directly link their call to ordained ministry to their time at Silver Lake and discern their call to Silver Lake. So these are not those 60 clergy. However, they are a portion of your clergy having fun. At the beginning of the summer, we started doing what we call clergy camp, which is a half week for pastors to get away and just enjoy camp, to step away. They can be as immersed in the fun of camp as they want, or they can use it as a half reading week if they really just can't put the books down and go and play. But either way, this is them having a little bit of fun this past summer. And because Silver Lake is a place where folks take off the masks we use to protect ourselves from others, and where we work at being our authentic selves, it is amazing what can come forth. We have young folks leading worship that they design and write that week, singing in front of a couple hundred people, most of whom are total strangers. Young people praying out loud. We have young adults mentoring children and youth. We have people doing weird things like saying please and thank you to each other. And we have folks practicing forgiveness and living grace. It truly is an amazing community that forms over and over again every single summer. And this is just a couple snapshots of the different ways and spaces we do worship. It's often outside, but we also have several performance conferences where they take a scripture and write an entire musical. And so they're inside most of the time doing that because we have the lighting and stage for it. And in the midst of the beauty of community filled with shy fourth graders, awkward middle schoolers, and way overconfident high schoolers, and folks everywhere in between, people find a place where they are loved just as they are, their imperfections sitting right alongside the light of God shining from within every single person who sets foot on our site. It really is something to behold. People begin to find their voice, a voice within them that they often didn't even know they had. People begin to find that voice and stand alongside someone who is being bullied or those who are marginalized, learning to speak out against injustice, to preach the gospel in a new way, to claim with authority, no, this is who I am, not who you said I was. Campers and adults begin to live their faith in new ways and find new ways to express the love of God that God has for them and the ways in which God is calling them to live that out in the world. One of my favorite stories from this past summer comes from a mom who was sharing that as she was on the drive home with their camper, she was having a difficult conversation. How many of you have driven home with your camper? Anybody? It is the hardest thing in the world because as a parent, you're pumped and you want them to tell you everything in the world and the camper doesn't want to tell you anything. Partly because they're sad they left, but partly because they don't know how to articulate something that was very personal, extremely experiential, and one of the most profound spiritual encounters they've probably had in their life. How do you tell your parents about that on the drive home? So, I'm letting you know, that drive home will have its bumps. It's not all like, yes, it's fun, which the kids had and the campers had an amazing time, but it's also hard to articulate that. And so the mom is struggling getting her son to share with him, and so finally she's able to ask, what are the best parts? What did you like? Tell me something. And he starts telling that he loved worship. And she says, okay, tell me more. Not what she expected. And he's telling about Wednesday worship, which his group of campers called conferees led. And on Wednesday, we do all camp communion. So at their service, they'd had communion. And he starts to tear up a little bit. And she gets worried, is everything okay? And he says, yeah. And eventually he's able to say, Mom, you know how at church, only the deacons get to serve communion, no young people. And she says, yeah, honey, just the adults serve. He said, well, at camp, I got to serve communion. I got to hold the bread. And everyone came up and took the bread. And I saw and experienced for the first time ever why we do communion. Because in that moment, I knew that God loved me and God loved every single person who came up to me to take a piece of bread. And the kid started crying a little and his mom started bawling. That's what we do at camp. Those are the kinds of God moments that we have at camp. Those moments where God slows us down and touches our hearts. And so I'm overjoyed to see that you all have a young person sitting here in the front pew ready to share communion, because then our young folks go home and they make those changes in their churches and shape the way God moves in our faith communities in our churches. I don't know if that young person will become clergy number 61 from Silver Lake, but I do know that that was a life-transforming experience for that camper. That was a moment where he was transformationally close to God. In our other text, Jesus talks about going back to his home community. And it doesn't go real well being welcomed back to his hometown, partly because he's coming back with a very strong prophetic message that they don't necessarily want to hear. So I imagine there are difficulties going to your home church to preach. But I do know about going to your second home, which is how a lot of folks describe Silver Lake. It's actually how Kate described Silver Lake in camp when she did the intro this morning, is it's a second home. And we welcome that prophetic voice in our Silver Lake community. Many of our 60 clergy have come back and given a great deal, but so have thousands of other folks who have gone on to do important work, not just in the church, but in hospitals, in service settings, in education, and given back to the Silver Lake community. And sometimes when those folks come back, they come back with a prophetic message that is difficult. That can be things like dealing with the whiteness of our camp and our churches and having to be very intentional and thinking about how we do camp to make sure folks who come from other settings are truly welcomed in so that we really do reflect the diversity of God's creation. Or the work of becoming more welcoming to LGBTQ folks. We can do simple things like make our bathrooms gender neutral. That's easy. The harder work is making sure that everyone is truly welcomed just as God has created them into the community. Our work is not done. And just like all of our churches, we are on a journey of living more fully into the incredible kingdom of God, seeking to be the beloved community God calls us to. And so we continue to work and offer an extravagant welcome that truly reflects the love of God. So come and join us at Silver Lake. We have 9 months of retreat season ready for you. And the rest of the time, we are so excited to welcome our young folks into a summer of extravagant hospitality and being transformed by God's love.